First scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 118, verses 14 through 19. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel passage today comes from John's gospel, chapter 20, verses 11 down to 18. So once again, I invite us to listen for God's word for each one of us on this day. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and one at the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord. I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. But Mary stood weeping. Those are the first four words of our gospel reading, the good news today. The first four words that really, really hit me as I was reading this passage for this Sunday, because there are always words we blow right by to get to the exciting part. We get to the good news. But I've been reminded once again this Holy Week that the Easter story begins and arises out of tragedy, pain, disillusionment, suffering, disappointment, denial, and of course, death. I was listening to a conversation with a professor named Eddie Glaude from Princeton University, and he said, as a paraphrase, he said, "We who are Christians, we like to get right to the end of the story on Easter, because Easter represents a triumph over death and evil." Then he said, "But for it to have substance for us, you have to encounter it first." But Mary stood weeping. As we enter Holy Week this year, I know some of us are worried and concerned and even stressed about another war in the Middle East, about expenses going up, or whatever else might be a source of anxiety or suffering today. I've heard from many people of faith, just how worried they seem to be and how much anxiety they're carrying around. Maybe it's a personal situation. Maybe it's grief over a disrupted life. But that is where we begin the Easter story. There's very little doubt that the early disciples believed on that Good Friday that Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried, as the Apostles' Creed says. It says it three times. He was crucified, dead, and buried. Three times. It was a period at the end of the sentence of life. He was gone, and they did not imagine they'd ever see him again. There'd be no more chapters written in this amazing story that they had experienced. In fact, the early disciples were experiencing quite a crisis with their own lives. They were in hiding and in fear after Good Friday. I mean, sure, we've all got challenges, but how about those disciples on the day when Mary stood weeping at the tomb? They were in trouble. They wanted to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They wanted to believe he was the one, but now he was dead and buried. Was he just like all the others, they wondered, you know, over-promising and under-delivering? They were disillusioned. They were filled with fear and anxiety. Their world had turned on its head. If you are feeling even a little that way this Easter Sunday, you're in good company from the Scriptures. A few years ago, I remember seeing a sermon title from Pastor Aaron down at Capitol Hill Presbyterian, where I used to be, and it really struck me. It was something like, Easter when it still feels like Lent. Isn't that the way it so often is? That's the question of Easter. Can we get through the trauma, the hurt of Good Friday, and even Holy Saturday? Can we get all the way to the good news of Easter Sunday? Is death really a period at the end of the sentence? Or is it just a comma, a way into new life? So I think this Easter, as others, can be for us like another wake-up call to fully claim the promises of God for us. A wake-up call to live life as God meant it to be, regardless of the circumstances and regardless of what is going on around us. I always love stories about Winston Churchill. If you're not familiar with him, he's a figure in history. He was a prime minister credited with inspiring the United Kingdom to kind of survive the terrible threat of World War II. But he was also known as quite a character in his day. And one story about him is, as he was nearing death himself, he decided to plan his funeral. He wanted to plan everything for that service in St. Paul's Cathedral in London, all the music, all the liturgy, carefully selected. And after the benediction, he was going to have a trumpeter, a bugler, positioned far in the dome and play taps, you know, what's going to be a beautiful sound, that sad song that says, "The day is over." But then came the surprise for everyone. He instructed that another bugler would then immediately begin playing reveille. It's time to get up. It's time to get up this morning. It was the final witness of his life that the last note on his life was not going to be taps. It was going to be reveille. One last wake-up call. So Mary Magdalene and the other Mary got what you might call a wake-up call themselves that changed their lives forever. It was the shock of their life. They went to the tomb early that morning. Many of us remember the story that when Jesus was buried on Good Friday before the Sabbath day, there was no time to properly prepare the body according to, you know, custom. So it was the day after the Sabbath, which is Sunday, they go and they do their very sad duty. And when they got there, they got the shock of their lives. The stones rolled away, the angels there, Mary is confused, afraid. Jesus comes to stand alongside and in one word puts her fears to rest. When he just calls out her name, he just says, Mary. And when she heard him say this, she recognized him and realized he is alive. That can inspire us for our own kind of wake-up call. In the midst of whatever's going on, in the midst of difficulty, to embrace this truth that God has set out for us, to claim this amazing story for our own. If so, we can have the strength, power, maybe the courage to deal with anything that's happening here and now for us. It's also an opportunity to just ask ourselves again if we're living the life that God really intends and calls us to live. So this morning, I just suggest three quick areas. There are many, many others, but three quick areas we might consider how we're living the life that God intends. One aspect is what you might call redeemed living. If Easter is true, we no longer have to live with guilt and blame. And I know there are many who feel like they're carrying the world on their shoulders. Maybe you feel that way. It's hard to know where to turn to set things right. But the truth of Easter is we've already been redeemed. We've already been set right. We've already been forgiven. We've already been claimed by God. You know, that's an important aspect of Good Friday. It's all about Jesus redeems us. The word means to buy back, right? And Jesus said emphatically, it is finished. The Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world, but the resurrection is God's amen to Jesus's it is finished. In other words, the resurrection validates the crucifixion when God says, yes, it is finished. The debt is paid once and for all. One of my Scottish theologians that I got to study with a few years ago always likes to tell the story about people ask him constantly, when were you saved? And he always sort of gets a twinkle in his eye, and he would answer, about 2,000 years ago on Golgotha, Jesus paid the price for me. Of course, he said it with a Scottish accent that was much better than that. You can have redeemed living if you claim this for yourself. Well, another aspect is abundant living, something we all want. It's believing that same power that raised Jesus on the first Easter is available to us as well. It's believing that life has possibilities and that there is no period at the end of the sentence. That whatever happens to us, whatever thing happens, bankruptcy, accidents, even death, is not the last word on today. Again, not a period at the end of the sentence, but a comma, so to speak. I was thinking back to that very first Easter of the pandemic in 2020. I don't know if you remember that. But I remember reading that day from the prophet Jeremiah. And there's this reading from Jeremiah 31 that's called The Joyful Return of the Exiles. And I thought that was interesting because we all felt like exiles. You know, we were all stuck in our house or locked down or whatever. And Jeremiah writes that we're promised a joyful return from exile. But it was interesting reading that. It didn't seem like we could see it. It didn't seem real. It didn't seem like it would ever happen. But just like Easter follows Good Friday, here we are. We have abundant, non-exilic living once again. Whenever things look dark, I try to remember that. We can live in abundance because of God's promises. Well, finally, and probably most importantly, there's eternal living. Simply because of Easter, because Jesus was raised, we are promised this staggering reality of eternal life. I think probably we've all gotten used to seeing delivery people around our houses, being more a part of our lives, whether it's Amazon or UPS or whoever you like. There's a story about a delivery that went all wrong once. I don't know, maybe you've heard this story, but it was a florist, and this florist was in a rush to prepare two orders. Now, one was for a business that had moved and relocated to a bigger building, and one was for a funeral home, and they were just getting ready for a service they were having that day. But the problem was they got mixed up. And the next day, the man who was opening his business called, and he was somewhat upset. And he said, "What's the idea of sending me an arrangement that said, rest in peace?" The florist said, "Yeah, I know, I'm sorry. But how do you think the people in the funeral home felt when they got the flowers that said, good luck in your new location?" But ironically, the writer Anne Lamott says, for the Christian, death is simply a change of address. It is the great mystery of our faith. Eternal living, the fulfillment of everything that we've known. So, tragedy, anxiety, and worry, it's not the last word on today. Pain, disillusionment, suffering, disappointment, denial, and even death is not the last word on today. The last word on today is for us to believe the good news of Easter. Will you say it with me? He is risen. He is risen indeed. Claim it for yourself. Thanks be to God. Amen.